I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is KMOX Health Editor Fred Bottomer. Thanks a lot for joining us for today's podcast titled Coronavirus Facts Only. Every day around this time, I'm talking with Dr. Fred Buchholz. Dr. Buchholz is a SLU care general internist at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital about coronavirus and COVID-19. What do we need to know? How do we keep ourselves safe? And what lies ahead in the uncertain future? Dr. Buchholz, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Glad to be here.
The Trump administration is now projecting between 100 and 240,000 Americans may die from coronavirus over the next few weeks or months. What's your reaction?
That's a staggering number and troubling. I don't think anybody that hears that is not bothered by that and kind of adds to the, you know, the concern that many have had and I guess a growing concern that others are having for this. I think it just kind of, on the face of it, just kind of shows how serious this is. And you know, frankly, we have, you know, not gotten a handle on this and, you know, implemented the policies and behaviors that other countries have done to curb this and to try to lessen the impact that COVID will have. And I've been doing this now for a couple of weeks and I've been saying the same thing, like I broke the record for a couple of weeks. I'm frankly embarrassed, it's like given we know what this does. We have a playbook of what works. And yet we kind of are still in this denial of like, this is a huge bomb that's coming. And, the lack of the ability to do anything about that is just insanely frustrating. You know, Missouri still does not have a safe place for it. We're certainly thankful in the region we have this. And I certainly, strongly support following it and encouraging that really is kind of the key piece. But, just the other pieces that are really, really important, you know, proper protective equipment, testing, a set policy nationwide to really guide behavior so it's not left up to individual states, which have their own quirks to it, is really troubling and frustrating. And, you know, I think just to get an effect on this, we need to have stay-in-place orders. It's seems to be working in California and having evidence of a benefit. I pray it happens in St. Louis. But, you know, just look at the numbers the last couple of days. I'm not feeling great. And I think these numbers should not make anybody feel great about what our country is doing. And frankly, it's embarrassing. And I'm sorry to be so strong there. But, we're better than this. And I'm frustrated it's taken this long to kind of reach that and that these are a lot of people that don't have to die if we add our act together really 8 weeks ago. That's frustrating.
It's hard not to get discouraged by all the rising numbers that we're seeing. Any silver lining here?
Well, I think if you're in St. Louis, yes. I mean, I think we have a couple kind of advantages. One is we're not as dense as some of these other areas. And two, we did institute a stay-in-place order on the 23rd. So we're about 10 days into that. The numbers, you know, I track the numbers every day, and the last couple of days have not been very encouraging. And I think I've upset my neighbors and friends in saying that. But at the same token, it's really going to be really by the end of this week or early next week where we really get a sense of whether or not that had an effect. And that's kind of my piece of optimism is that, you know, the cases we're seeing now are people that were probably infected 2-3 weeks ago. So hopefully, hopefully there's an effect. And again, I'm not planning on that. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but I'm certainly hopeful that there is a benefit of that action. And I just, again, implore people to adhere to it. And, interesting in our experience has been already is that the people getting sick, and again, this is coming out of other centers as well across the country, the U.S., the really vulnerable people seem to not be getting it quite as much. The people that are getting this are otherwise fairly healthy people that have one or two what I call comorbidities, so particularly diabetes. The experience in Seattle, I think I mentioned this yesterday, is, 60% of their severely ill patients were diabetics. And in our just kind of short experience and at our hospital, we've seen the same thing. We have not had a lot of numbers, but those have had, weren't obvious patients. It was a little bit more subtle in terms of their presentation. And that's been, I think something we're thinking through and working through as we kind of try to strategize who we're going to test. Because again, we've got to ration our tests because we don't have the amount that we would like to have. We'd like to have more, but it's still trying to dial that up. It's been difficult.
We're talking with Dr. Fred Buchholz. Dr. Buchholz is a slew care general internist at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital. Dr. Buchholz, we're still waiting to find out from the White House Coronavirus Task Force if they will have a recommendation about all of us needing to wear a mask when we go out of some sort. President Trump has said he wouldn't rule out wearing a mask or at least a scarf if you go out for a while. What do you think about that?
Well, first for the general masks, again, my caveat and concern is that, I really like to prioritize for healthcare personnel first. I think that's the most important thing. But, out and about, if you're wearing a cloth mask or a handmade mask, it's probably better than nothing. Again, I think the most important thing really here is frequent and recurrent hand washing. But the mask, I think, has lesser protection for you individually, but more of prevention. If a lot of people wear it, it's a prevention of spread. So, if you sneeze, you're wearing a bandana or a cloth mask, the amount of aerosolization is that gets spread is certainly less than if you didn't have a mask. And so I think a critical mass of people wearing that certainly will have some benefit. Again, I think what works best is really the social distancing. And I think rather than talk about masks or a policy on masks, I'd rather there be a policy on social distancing. But you as an individual, if you want to wear something that's homemade, I wouldn't, my caution would be is wear it. Sure. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I wouldn't wear it thinking you're now invulnerable to this. I think that's the mistake people are making. I think I hate using the word paranoia. It's probably not the word I want to use, but the concern about just being infected by this is legitimate and real. Really the way to deal with this is distance and staying away as much as possible. And I think that's your best strategy. And then when you're in contact, washing frequently is the second best strategy. Somewhere lower than that, but probably with some effect, is this idea of masks. But it's probably more the mask is doing more for preventing you from spreading it to others than it getting spread to you.
So maybe make the mask part of your safety routine, including social distancing and good hand hygiene.
Correct. Yeah, I think if you're limiting your social your interactions in public areas, masks is when you're doing those limited public interactions is certainly not a terrible strategy. And I wouldn't say yes or no. But I think if you're not limiting that and using a mask as a substitute, I think that's a bad idea. It would be bad policy. Absolutely.
What do you think masks would mean for the psyche of America if we look out and see everyone wearing masks? Will it make us realize that we are a country that's sick?
That's a great question. I don't know. I think the psyche part is just the whole how this has changed our kind of conversation about this has been interesting. And, just personally, just how I just interact in public. And when I see people, I kind of step away and how that feels weird and different than what I'm used to. I think it will kind of add to that idea that you know, this is a very unusual time in our country, and we're at risk of these types of things, and kind of speaks to our own vulnerabilities, which we're not great at talking about. Nobody is. I think, interestingly, as a healthcare provider, I'm not used to wearing that. So, you know, I certainly do it when we have certain conditions in the hospital or at the clinic. But wearing it universally when I go about my daily work is something I'm not used to and is out of my comfort zone. And that's I haven't processed that either. And frankly, I haven't done it that much yet. But you know, as I get ready to kind of step into service, you know, it's definitely going to change how I go about my work. And that's not troubling, but just something to think about. And is a big change for me personally.
We're talking with Dr. Fred Buchholz. Dr. Buchholz is a SLU care general internist at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital. Dr. Buchholz, let's talk again about how the virus is spread.
Yeah, so again, it's by, the main thing is just aerosolization of contents, mostly from your mouth and nose. So and that can occur with just breathing if there's enough virus in your mucosa or the skin inside your nose and mouth. Certainly sneezing, coughing, all those really kind of amplify the spread. And, you know, the other part is, you know, there are people that are asymptomatic, and the rates of asymptomatic spread, so people without any symptoms whatsoever, it kind of varies. You know, I've heard as much as 80%. I've heard as low as 20%. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle, but it certainly is a component of this. But, you know, close proximity is an essential thing. And, you know, I think those are really kind of the main ways this is spread and how it kind of goes quickly through a city or a region is by that kind of close contact with a lot of other people and a certain concentration of people that are not having symptoms but are carriers and spreading this as well. That's the biggest part of this, that biggest variable that's hardest to deal with, certainly.
You mentioned aerosol particle spread. What does that mean?
So that's just, you know, when you sneeze, if you want to think about that, there's small droplets of, you know, mucus and snot and water that are just kind of condensed and blown out as you sneeze. And so, you know, when you're infected, you just have to imagine viruses or bacteria as kind of in those little pieces of water, little droplets of water. So it's like a fine spray that kind of just gets misted out and then just kind of lingers for a certain amount of time and settles on whatever it drops on. So just like dew kind of coalescing on grass on an early spring morning, all these droplets kind of find the area that they're attracted to, you know, a surface of a table, countertop, produce stand, whatever, or somebody else's skin. And then, you know, there's inadvertent touching and rubbing and you know, any other contact, and that it's brought to your face, and that's how you get infected. So, so the aerosolization, when I say that, it's just droplets of water with infected particles in it, viruses in this case with coronavirus.
And what does shedding the virus mean?
So shedding is just, so how viruses work is they, you know, anything that reproduces biologically requires DNA or sometimes something called RNA, but the genetic code and what it does is make something called proteins, and the proteins are what makes up cells and amongst other things. So viruses lack the ability to replicate their own DNA. So they have to use our own cells to do this. So a virus kind of works its way inside a cell. So more often than not, these are cells on our skin. And then once it's in the cell, it kind of hijacks the cell's machinery to help the virus replicate its own DNA. So then in this cell, and if you look at it under a microscope, you'll see this virus just making multiple copies of itself to the point, for lack of a better term, there's so many there, it just makes the cell sort of explode. And now the virus is out of the cell and can be spread elsewhere. And so that's what shedding is, and that's exactly what happens. That's when that cell breaks, because there's so many viruses in that cell, and then, you know, they go other cells in your body, or if it's on your, you know, if it's in your mouth, for instance, you sneeze out, some of that gets blown out with everything else that's going out with your sneeze, and that's how it affects other people.
We're talking with Dr. Fred Buchholz. Dr. Buchholz is a SLU care general internist at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital. Got another email from a listener. She said she got an email. It was a group email sent to everyone in her family telling her that this is the worst time to be out. We're at the end of a 2-week incubation period for the virus, this email says, and it suggests that people will be at their highest contagious stage right now. So for the next few days, you should not go out. Any truth to that?
You know, it's a rational thought. I don't think any of us really know that answer for certain. The incubation period, so say you get infected and we have a confirmed infection, the time to developing symptoms is anywhere from a couple days to a couple weeks. And again, that number keeps on moving too. There was some thought of maybe as long as 30 days. Now that seems less so. Some are saying even less, since 14 days, even 7 days. And that's kind of given some evidence for some of the guidance we're using. But I think right now is a chance. You know, this is again where the weather's nice. You want to get outside. You want to start doing more. This is where that discipline really kind of kicks in, because there is still that chance that there are a lot of people infected still. Even after 2 weeks, there's still going to be a lot of people that are infected still. We really don't know the true number of people that are infected in our region or in this country. And so, I think it's still time to just stay away and stay in. So regardless if that's true or not, I think this is, again, where discipline really needs to take over, because everybody's natural instinct starts to kind of get out and be more active because it's getting nice outside and we've been holed up in our houses for, 10 days or so now. It just, we're all getting a little stir crazy, myself included. I don't know if it's really backed by science, but it's not backed by science. But I think the principle of staying away is still really smart right now.
Dr. Buckle, what do you think the next 2 weeks are going to look like?
I'll be completely candid. I'm nervous. I was a little bit more optimistic over the weekend and just looking at our own household numbers about, we didn't see a huge bump in cases over the weekend, which was kind of giving me, I think, maybe a little bit of false reassurance. I'm still, like I mentioned earlier in this chat, I'm still hopeful that the stay-at-home rule may have had an impact that we'll see hopefully by the end of this weekend. But just in St. Louis City and St. Louis County in the last day, there's been a 30% uptick in positive people. And that means we're doubling if that rate continues. This is just one day, so it might just be a blip in the data. But if that rate continues where, we're doubling every 3 days by that mass, and that's kind of that number, that doubling time of 2 to 3 days is when things kind of run away really quickly, and that's given me a lot of pause and concern. So in 2 weeks, we very well could be, and the projections would be such that we're our ICUs are at capacity or past capacity, and we're kind of at that point of what we're seeing in New York, where everything's getting stretched, and that's that's where I'm spending most of my time worrying about and thinking about, working with my colleagues and friends and partners to be prepared and ready for that.
Dr. Buckle, thanks for spending so much time with us again. Really do appreciate it.
No, thank you. Appreciate the questions. They're good questions. And thanks for giving me the voice to speak to the community about this. It's important.
Dr. Fred Buchholz is a SLU care general internist at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital. This is KMOX health editor Fred Bottomer. Thanks so much for joining us for today's podcast, Coronavirus Facts Only. Talk to you again tomorrow.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.